Welcome to Legends with Bevo. Thanks to the Holdy, Coopers, Anytime Fitness Glenelg, and Paradise Mazda. And now, here's your host, Bevo.
Tommy Seeger, the Suburban Footballer. Great to have you on Legends with Bevo, mate. How are you going at the moment? How you survived this COVID-19 situation?
Going all right, but unlike you lucky South Australians, we're going backwards over here. We are going backwards at a rate of knots. I think we had our worst ever day yesterday, 75 new cases. So, it's a little bit deflating, to be honest, because we were looking good. We're looking good, but, yeah, going backwards at the moment.
Mate, I hate to say it's a bit of karma, but, you know, your Premier came out last week and gave it to Adelaide, and we're kind of laughing at you guys at the moment a little bit because he said, don't bother going to Adelaide. And then it's like, well, sucked in, mate. don't come here anyway.
Yeah, don't bother going. Even if we wanted to go, we couldn't come. We'd give better than to go there now. At least you could go to a pub or go watch a footy or just do anything. Yeah, no, you might have gone a bit early. I think you may have gone a bit early. nothing good has happened since those words came out of his mouth over here. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Not to worry. So, moving on to more important things, mate, and that's the Suburban Football and the Tom Seeger journey. Talk to us through your journey and, I guess, how you became the Suburban Footballer.
First and foremost, I'm a local footy nut. So I played my first game of footy for the Yak and Dander under-10s when I was 8 years old. And I'll tell you a quick story. So it was a little farming community about 45 minutes from Albury Wodonga, which is about 3 hours from Melbourne. And because it was a farming community, we only used to play footy every second week to give time to every second week would be our chores, supposedly, chores around the farm and so forth. So we used to play every week. And we made the grand final and won the semi. Made the grand final as an 8 year old. It was, you know, just loved my footy. It was the biggest thing that ever happened to me. And so 2 weeks after the semi, it was the morning of the grand final. I was getting ready at my place, and all of a sudden I heard my mum and dad just cursing in the kitchen, and they were sort of having an argument. And I just went up and said, "What's going on?" And I had all my footy gear on, ready to go and play in this granny. And my mum went and sat. She said, "Just come over here for a sec, Tommy." And she sat me down and she said, "Oh, we've made a mistake. The grand final was actually only a week after the semi. So the grand final was last week. You missed out on the granny." And I was beside myself, bawling my eyes out. And I'll never forget it. As long as it was, she put her arm around me and said, "You're only 8. You'll get to play in many more grand finals. And I'm 42, still playing footy. And have never played in another grand final since that. When I've told that story before, a few people have said, "Didn't anyone ring you?" And I was like, "No, that might have been a good sign of my social status at the club, but no one even rang me when I didn't turn up with a grand final." But obviously, it was a different time back then. You know, there was no social media or, you know, no mobile phones or anything. Never played in a grand final. I think that sort of set the scene for the hard luck story that was my football career. And as I got to the end of my football career and it became evident that I was never going to have any success, I started coming up with this character that was a bit of a hard luck story, and people seemed to been drawn to it because, as you know, people like a success story, but geez, they love hearing a bomb story more than a success story. So that's where it all started.
Oh, I absolutely love it, mate. Apologies you haven't won a granny, but hey, you're still 42. You've still got plenty of time to go, mate.
I've retired. Probably 6 times I've retired and come back. The worst, I retired when I was 38. My body was staffed, announced at mid-season, and I'd been at the same club for 17 years, so I'd played nearly 300 games. It came to the finals. Everyone knew it was my last shot at it. You know, as in typical Tom Seeger form, we went out in straight sets, didn't make the grand final. And my parents were down. I had one child at the time. I got chaired off. I carried my son off. Everyone clapped. Some of tears in my eyes and went off. And it was my last game, and I played round one the year after, which was one of the most pathetic attempts at retirement of all time. It wasn't good.
Well, I know where you how you feel there, mate, because I've probably had more comebacks than John Farnham.
Love a comeback. Love a comeback, exactly.
And my mates always get stuck into me about it, so I played a few different clubs and what have you. But you got to love your footy. And I just turned 40 recently, and I'm still thinking I've got a few more games left in me, mate, so I know how you feel.
Yeah, it's funny. When you get older, you seem to focus on the good games. I think when you're younger, you know, you might play six good ones and one bad one, and you can't stop thinking about the bad one. When you get older, you might play 15 bad ones, and you might play a good quarter, and you're like, oh, he's still got it, and you're in search for that. You don't need much. You don't need much to give you hope. And I must have had a little glimmer last year when I played a couple of twos games, and enough to make me want a bit more.
Well, hopefully this year, if you make your comeback this year, mate, you might get to play in the granny. Fingers crossed.
Who knows? Who knows? Well, we're actually if ever there's a year, this is the year, because over in Melbourne the leagues are dropping off because of COVID-19. I think we're down to two leagues in Melbourne out of probably 20. So the Southern and the Amos and clubs are actually within those leagues are dropping off. So I might actually get a flag without even having to take the field. We might be the only team left, which would be I wouldn't care how I get it. I'd still get the tattoo and drink for a week and wouldn't bother me.
And do a shooey.
I'll be doing some shooeys. Sorry about that.
Well, I have to say, mate, I've been lucky enough to win one. I've lost three. So, played in four. So I count myself pretty lucky from that perspective.
So where did the win come in the four? Was it at the end or the...
So good question. So lost one in 2006. I played in 2007, lost that. And then 2008, I won one. So in 2011, played in the granny and lost by a point. Would you believe it? So So that was pretty rough, mate. But
I've won one final. I've played 300 games of senior footy and have won one finals match in my entire career, which is pretty depressing looking back. Oh,
and then you get guys who win, like, over here, Central Districts in the Stanford, they, made ridiculous amounts of grand finals. I think it was like 10 grand finals in 12 years or something along those lines. And, guys winning 8 or 9 premierships, and it was just unbelievable. So, you get some hard luck stories and some good luck stories, that's for sure.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But, there's still, as I said, I'm 42 and still I find myself dreaming of, snapping the winning goal in the granny. I don't think you ever stop dreaming of it.
And for those people that wanted to book the Suburban Footballer for a show, when obviously things get back to normal, Tommy, and you can come to Adelaide or one of the other states, what do we expect to see in one of your shows?
Well, it's evolved quite a bit. So I've been doing stand-up comedy for 17 years, which is just straight, as myself with a microphone, and that's just at comedy clubs and still footy clubs around Australia. And then I came up with the character, and it was originally a one-hour show as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, but I first did it in Perth at the Perth Fringe Festival. So it was originally a one-hour show, or 55 minutes is what a show had to be part of the festival. And, it had a real story that went through it, and it was like sitting down basically watching a movie. It had a start, had a plot, had a big finale, it had characters and rah, rah, rah. And then I started performing that because obviously a lot of footy players had come to see it, they would ask me if I wanted to do it at their footy club. So I did it at their footy club without the restrictions of it being 55 minutes. So all of a sudden I could, do these bits that I had to cut out, and it evolved to end up being two 40-minute halves of this big long show. But it really was like watching TV. It wasn't overly interactive. But I found, you know, footy clubs, some of the twos players have been on the source since 2 p.m. and sometimes, you know, the show wouldn't start till 8. Not great setting for people sitting paying attention. So, you know, and people would be yelling shit out. So I really had to change it up to make it a lot more interactive because I just had to be dealing with spot fires, you know, like, because sometimes crowds would be great, but sometimes it'd be rowdy. And so what I do now is when they do book me, I do a 45-minute spot, 40-minute spot as myself, and then I can't have a break. And then I come back and do a 40-minute, probably 50-minute spot as a suburban footballer. But it's not the story that I did as part of the festival. It's just basically all the highlights jammed into 50 minutes and it's a lot more interactive. So I find out the legend of the club. I basically get everyone to stand up and, you know, and sit down if you haven't done this, sit down, you know, sit down if you've ever played with a hangover, if you haven't played with a hangover. And I just find the biggest spot in the club, which is always a bit of fun. Find out nicknames and I come out and I G the crowd up at the start, put on Eye of the Tiger and, you know, do the knee highs and then flick the heels and, you know, all the and get everyone in together. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4 and all that sort of shit that only a footballer understands. And yeah, from the outside it's pretty ridiculous. But it's a good fun show. It's footy, it's just 100% footy. So if you're not into footy, probably not for you.
What does the missus think of it, mate? That's odd, though.
Oh, she's seen it a few times. She likes it. Well, she's a country girl, so she knows the deal with footy clubs and how ridiculous it all is, and knows all what we get up to, or most of it. But yeah.
Okay, and we were talking off air as well about the blokes that shower in their jocks, and I'm guilty of this back in the day, Tommy. Do you do that as you know, getting people to stand up if they shower in their jocks? Is that one of them as well?
that's one of the things that makes them sit down. But it's a part of the show, and this will probably make this interview skip from PG to M. But I won't go into any great detail. But I talk about all the penises I've seen. It's the one part of the show that I decide in the spare of the moment whether I'm going to do it or not. So I go into the suburban football and it's about 20 minutes in, and I get a vibe for I don't think they're up for the dick bit. But you know, there might be a few older ladies there or whatever. But I break all the penises I've seen down into four different categories. What is it? Circumcision length, width, and pubic hair. And within each category, there's subcategories. And I and it's a very, very basic, but very popular part of the show. And but again, that like footy clubs now, like the young guys, because of women's footy, all the they've all got cubicles. So this is it's a part of footy that's unfortunately dying, is the old sharing with your mates. Because the old shower cubicles have been introduced, so which is a bit of a shame. But anyway,
yeah, that's different, isn't it? But like you said before, that's the world we live in now. It's completely changed from say 20 years ago.
yeah. But the positive is they're a lot cleaner, the showers these days. One of them, I'm sure you've showered in some pretty horrendous showers. Most of them are pretty good these days. Maybe that's the price you pay for the cubicles. But
And we've got a mutual friend as well. I want to give a shout out to Tommy who helped organise yourself tonight. That's Scotty Kennedy from Talking Talent. And if they want to book you for future gigs, we of course you can get in touch through Talking Talent and hit up Scotty. How do you know him?
Just around the traps. He's got me heaps of gigs over the years, and a lot of people, I guess. Oh, we actually shared a mutual friend that that sort of got us chatting. And in the entertainment industry, comedy industry, there aren't that many people really into footy. So I guess him being into footy, we sort of just hit it off, and had a lot of similar hobbies and so forth. So just hit it off, and he's been great for me over the years. So got me plenty of gigs, which has been good. Yeah, ripping guy. Runs a tight ship.
Yes, yeah, he does a good job, and yeah,
he does a lot. Of course, the trivia night. So he does the trivia nights at my local footy club. He's always done those ones too, which ironically, for a guy that runs trivia nights, he's one of the most uneducated men I reckon I've ever met in my life.
Do I dare say that's true? Because he's a Tiger supporter, is that? Oh my God, too far.
Not true.
Yeah, I do the pub trivia here in Adelaide when it's happening as well. And yeah, thanks to Scotty for that. He got me that gig. So yeah, Soundstorm trivia do a wonderful job.
Yeah, yeah, and they're great now. They've made a real well, maybe they've always been around, but they've made definitely come back at my local footy club, and it's probably our biggest function of the year now. The trivia, it was a huge night. It's a great night.
It should get you hosting a mate sometime with a bit of a suburban footballer added to it or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah, we'll see how we go. See how we go.
And something else I found very interesting talking to you about before, mate, is that you actually do a bit of stuff when it's allowed, and hopefully going forward this will be happening again. And I've got to be a little bit careful how we talk about this, but that's the cruise ships. What sort of experience do you get being on those?
Well, funnily enough, I haven't been on the cruise ships, but it's a huge part of the comedy industry, the entertainment industry is. I was actually booked in to do my first cruise ship in October. And I was just going to, plant the seed for doing it later down the track, doing it more regularly. And basically, you know, I think there's 3 nights, maybe 5 nights, sometimes there's 9 nights, and you'll go away and you'll do basically 2 gigs in 9 nights. The rest of the time you're on a cruise ship, and it pays fairly well, and you know, everything's paid for, and it's a pretty cruisy way, pardon the pun, to earn a dollar. But unfortunately, the cruise ships copped a hammering, so it'll be a little while before I've got a lot of friends before they're back on the cruise ships. A lot of friends that do stand up, and yeah, pretty tough time for them, but hopefully the cruise ships can bounce back pretty quick, because it was a big part of the income for a lot of comedians, and also magicians, musicians, any sort of entertainer.
Yeah, you're right. It's amazing. You don't think about it until you actually speak to people like yourself. And you know, I spoke to George Kapanyaris the other week, and it's just the amount of people that have been hit by corona is just phenomenal, and not just hit, you know, like just smashed, because they've had 6 months worth of gigs just basically cancelled in a day, you know.
Yeah I always probably, I know it's a lack of confidence, which has been a good thing now, is I was always too scared to bite the bullet and go full time with my stand-up. I've always just kept hung on to my day job. I've thought about it many times, but I've always just hang on to the day job, and oh, thank goodness I did, because as I was saying before, you know, I've got three kids, wife, mortgage, and to have gone to zero income overnight would have been tough, and it will bounce back, but here in Vic, it could be a little while off yet.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate. Things get better sooner rather than later. And who's the actual team that you're following the footy? That's the big burning question over there in Victoria, mate.
Well, I know you're a Port man, so you're not going to be very popular with our battle of the prison bars. But I'm a Pies man. Pies through and through. So I've since day dot I've barracked for the Pies. I was there at the 1990 grand final when we beat Essendon at the MCG that day. I was there in 2010 when we beat St Kilda. I was sitting right behind bloody Sheeds when he kicked that goal for West Coast, which tore our heart out, when he was clearly played on and clearly was shepherded. But I don't think the umpire is going to change his decision now, as much as I whinge about it. So yeah, and I've seen it all. I love my Pies.
Yeah, you've sure had to have your ups and downs, because obviously those two in a row against Brisbane as well, where you got very close one year in 2002, I think it was, and in 2003 you got a bit of a hiding. There in 2002, and that was on the best grand finals you could ever wish to see. Unfortunately, not for you guys, but just a great game.
Well, again, I don't mean to sound like a whinging Collingwood supporter, but Rocker's goal went in. Rocker, and I'm actually one of those guys that I'm a sucker for watching the replay, And my wife always says, you know, it's going to be the same result. And like I've watched that West Coast grand final, I reckon, probably 6 or 7 times. I'm just a sucker for watching a grand final. I've watched that Brisbane one that you attended where Akamanis went down and went front and centre at the end and snapped the winning goal. And, oh, I don't know why I do it myself. But
I haven't watched the West Coast game at all on replay when we lost that game after the siren when Shuey kicked that goal. I've not watched that just because it was just, yeah, West Coast seemed to haunt everyone.
Oh, nice. Unbelievable, yeah.
Not to worry.
Coming back now, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Funny about West Coast.
Could be a Port Collingwood grand final this year, mate, the way things are going.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Howe is a massive loss. I could cop the loss to GWS, but Howe's knee, yeah, he's going to be hard to make up. He holds that back line together. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But hopefully, you know, I think Richmond have definitely come back to the pack. It's going to be an interesting season. Bulldogs aren't looking as good as everyone thought they were. It's going to be an interesting season. Anything could happen.
Who would have thought the Suns would be going as well as they are? It's just a great story, isn't it?
I've watched every Suns game. They're just they're the best. Or them and Port are the best team to watch at the moment, I reckon. When do they play each other?
They played each other in round one, so
they
wouldn't play
too.
Each other again until the finals.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think we knew. Well, it was just a bit of a shitty first round game, but I don't think if it was held now, it'd be an absolute blockbuster.
It would. Yeah, it'd be unbelievable. Yeah. So getting back to your shows and with Stand Up as yourself, Tom Seger, and also in terms of the Suburban Footballer, where do you get your material from for the shows, mate?
Probably as I mentioned earlier, just a bit of a hard luck footy career. Any comedian will tell you that after a show, people come up to you from the audience and say, I got a joke for you, and you're just like, oh, fuck, here we go. And it's normally racist or sexist, and it's a joke that not in a million years you would use, and it's like, how could you possibly think I would ever use that on stage? And it happens all the time. But with the footy character, people come up and say, oh, mate, I've got a great nickname for you, or, mate, I'll tell you this story about, you know, the footy trip in 2008. And they're great stories that, you know, you can put a bit of mayo on, or, you know, make myself the person that was involved, or whatever. And that's how a lot of it's happened, is it's a lot of the shows evolved from these people coming up after the show, which after a normal gig you try and avoid. But with after the footy gigs, for me, it's like having ghost riders coming up and giving me hot tips. It's great. I do a part of my show, probably one of the most popular parts of my show, I do a nickname team of the century where I, the full back line, forward line, interchange, on ballers, and it's and the captain and vice captain, and it's my favourite nicknames that I've ever heard in the full team, and that is forever improving just from people coming up to me and saying, oh, have you heard this one? Like one I heard just, he just made the team recently, one of the last gigs before I before the COVID-19 settled in. This guy came up and he said, oh, this guy over here, come and meet this bloke. And this big sort of overweight kid walked over, and they were a bit of a struggling club, and this guy played in the twos because they had no choice because they were struggling for numbers. They had to play everyone. They couldn't basically cut anyone. And he was a big overweight kid, lovely kid, but they put him at full forward. And because it was the only position he could play because he could barely move, this kid. And they called him Big W because he was a shit target. Which, I was like, mate, you're in the team, Big W, you're in the team. And someone else drops out of the team and Big W slots into full forward. And, I guess that things like that, the show's forever evolving with little stories like that. And a lot of my experiences and things I find funny about footy clubs and
And what's some of the best and the worst gigs that you've done as a Suburban footballer over the years, Tom?
Oh, mate, the Suburban footballer gigs are usually pretty good because they know what they're getting. And I think that's the thing about comedy. If you know what you're, if the crowd goes there knowing what they're in for, it's half the battle. So it's usually footy people, and it's usually I've got control of things, but it's the, you know, it's the straight stand up where you have the shitty gigs where, you know, you might be doing a corporate luncheon and everyone, the CEO's just presented about how bad the company's going and how there's going to be job losses and here's Tom Seagan, and you come up there to do 20 minutes to you know, to try and fire the crowd up, and they're all sober as judges, and you know the lighting's bad, and so that's where you have the bad gigs. Suburban footballer gigs, pretty lucky. They're all pretty good. I'll do some weird ones. I got asked to do I did a gig. Oh God, it was over in Coburg, and it was a luncheon, and then don't try this if you book me. But I'd just done the luncheon while the Twos were playing. Full house in the club rooms, 120 people. It was electric, you know, the perfect seating, everything. It was great. Everyone was on the beers. And then I had to go to get to another gig, and I went up to the president. I said, oh, mate, can I grab the money? I've got a bail. And he said, oh, we want you to do one more thing. I said, oh, what is it? He said, we want you to go into the rooms, and the Twos had just finished. We want you to go and do your show to the Twos before we pay you. I was like, no. I said, did they win? And they said, well, half of them did because we got both teams in there. And I was like, ugh. And I know, and look, on paper it might seem like a good idea, but I've played enough footy to know that if I lose a game of footy, I don't want to listen to a comedian the moment I walk off the field, no matter what standard of footy it is. You know, you're not in the mood for having a laugh, especially sitting with the guys that have just kicked your ass. So I had to go in and do. If ever there was a gig that was half good and half bad, that was it. The winning team was in stitches. They were loving it. And the losing team was just sitting there like they'd been pumped by 10 goals, which they had. So that was a weird one. But, yeah, suburban footballers usually goes all right. But I've got 1,000 shit gig stories as Tom Seagan. So,
Well, mate, I actually feel for you because I think it was last year, I had to put together a video to try and get a gig as a roaming reporter with Port Adelaide. Unfortunately, I missed out on the gig, but the video actually turned out really well, but it was bloody hard. I had to go into this soccer team or football team's change rooms. Now, I was hoping that they'd win the game. They lost, believe it or not, in the dying minutes in a knockout game, in the dying seconds of extra time. So I had to go and interview these guys just after they'd lost, you know, absolutely shattered. And it was so, they were actually really good sports, but geez, that was hard. Like trying to get a laugh out of them and stuff like that. Trying to be like BT with a team that just lost the game. Oh, mate, that was hard. Oh,
mate, I would have gone over to the other rooms, gone and interviewed the other team. Yeah, that's a tough gig.
Yeah, it's, I promised the coach that I'd do it and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was, I know exactly how you feel. That was very tough.
Yeah. I've been doing it for 17 years. I reckon about 5 years in, I did stand-up comedy at the Victorian Tattoo Championships. So what it was basically 600 people of the most tattooed people in Victoria in this one room, and it was just this haze of marijuana smoke and this smell of drinking, and it was just... It was a lot of bikies, just rough people. And we got the gig, and I realise now, looking back, we were clearly put on so that people wouldn't fight each other, so their anger would be, their attention would be aimed at us and not each other. So we literally got abused for 10 minutes we're up there, and people were just it was abuse for 10 minutes. And that was... That was a tough gig. I'll probably deal. Nowadays, I reckon I'll probably just say, mate, I'm not getting up there. This is no good. But wow. But back then, yeah, it was tough.
Luckily,
I was on first, so I didn't have to see anyone else go through it. But I remember walking off stage, and the other acts were just sitting there, just absolutely shitting themselves that they had to get up. But, that was a tough one. But, yeah, plenty of plenty of tough gigs.
I hope they paid you well for that one, mate.
probably not well enough for the. I'm still talking about it 12 years later, so not. It's obviously affected me.
Now let's talk about something that's a very good thing, mate, and that's your Suburban Footballer book that you've just recently introduced. So obviously you don't want to give too much away for the people out there, but what do we expect to see if we get this great book, Tommy?
What was that, sorry, what's in the book?
Yeah, what's it all about? Yeah,
well, I guess it's just a story about, for, again, very close to home. It's a guy, I think he's 37. He's played like 50 games over 13 seasons, all in the reserves. You know, he wears the number 87 jersey. He's never got a vote in the best and fairest count. He got one once, and on his way walking up, he stood up to give everyone a wave, and the guy, the president, corrected it. They read out the wrong name, so he thought for a split second he got a vote, but it was actually a guy filling in that day wearing his jumper. So the first chapter's him just sitting on the bench. It's pissing down rain. It's the last game of the season. They can't make finals. He's got a thumping headache because he went out the night before. He's had 2 hours sleep. And he's just thinking, what am I doing this for? This is shit. Why am I doing this to myself? This is my last game. And then the next 20 chapters is his basic view on every aspect of footy, whether it be the showers, the footy trip, the pre-season camp, the head trainer, the president, and his view and on that as he reflects back on his career. And then, in the last chapter is his decision, you know, whether or not he thinks he should play on. So it's got a lot of pictures there. I break down as we discussed the showers before. It's got all the rights and wrongs with the what showers are acceptable and unacceptable, and what toilets are acceptable and unacceptable. So she's not exactly a political book. She's fairly fairly basic. It's got its target market and it sticks to it. But I mean, the goal was to sell it at gigs. But the day I got my first shipment, the gigs, haven't had a gig since. The gigs dried up. So I've just been selling it online, and it's been going really well. Made great feedback.
Oh, that's awesome, mate. For the lucky listeners/viewers out there, we're actually giving. Tom's been very kind to give us one book away as well. So stay tuned on our socials to find out how you can win one of those. And I'll certainly be going online myself and getting one of those great books, Tommy.
Yes, that'd be great. very good. No, it's been good. It was good fun to write, actually. It was, first book I've ever written, probably my last, but I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
And where to from here, mate? Are we going to see you in Hollywood with the Suburban Footballer or...?
I reckon Hollywood might not quite understand the humour, to be honest. I guess that's the one negative about being a Aussie rules footy nut, is that it's not only Australian, just Australia. It's probably, you know, it's South Australia, Vic, WA and Taz. Even as you go north, it's sort of, you know, that loses a lot of, it loses a lot of followers. So unfortunately, yeah, I mean, if I had written the book about soccer or basketball, I could, you know, travel the world doing the show. But no, unfortunately not. But I would. My dream is to do a either a 6-part mini series or a feature film. But basically, similar to the similar to the book, just about my just a bit of a storyline about the Suburban Footballer. You know, just a bit of a comedy. That's the goal. You know, I haven't put pen to paper yet. Haven't started, but it's. I guess I've started to think about it. So, but I don't know how you get on TV or what you do. You have to film it yourself, or be a fairly costly exercise, I imagine. But that's the dream, and keep doing the shows, and keep. I've performed in front of 4 AFL teams. I'd love to do more AFL teams. That's Yeah, absolute buzz. Adelaide Crows is one of them. That's been probably my highlight, was doing the AFL teams. Yeah, it's really fun.
So, well, I can get you in. I could probably help you out with Port Adelaide and get you in front of my beloved Port Adelaide, mate. I know the I know a few people there pretty well.
As a Victorian, I'd probably pop in, give them COVID-19 and knock them out for the season. So I don't know if I'm more than happy to rock up and cop their season up for you.
Maybe
to help out.
Maybe after the season.
maybe. But the Adelaide Crows one was a ripper. It was a little bit after the, unfortunately, when they were going through a real rough patch when they had all those losses after the after the camp, and then they got me over there to sort of, you know, bring a bit of something a bit lighthearted. There was obviously a fair bit of stress there, and they just, all the boys were sober as judges. It was after training one day, and I remember they were playing West Coast the following week, and it was the first AFL club I'd done, and just walking out there and seeing Eddie Betts and Sloan, and you know, I was just like, oh my god, and it was just, the room was just, the energy was unreal. It was a real highlight. And it was such a ripping bunch of blokes. They all lined up and shook my hand, and it was really, really good experience.
Oh, that's a wonderful story, mate. Well done. Well, hopefully there's more of those to come in the future, and you get to do it in front of your eyes.
What was that, sorry?
Hopefully you get to do it in front of your beloved magpies.
Oh, no, I've done the pies.
You've done the pies? So, yeah?
Yeah, done the pies. That was absolute dream. Absolute dream come true. So, did it at their training facility there. They didn't know I was going to be on, and I dressed up instead of my Caulfield Bears gear as the Collingwood. I dressed up in all Collingwood gear, and I announced that Buckley had been sacked and I was taken over as coach. And I went through the team because I knew of the players, and Steel Sidebottom actually organised it and gave me a heap of goss on the players and a lot of dirt. And I went through and named my team and sort of hung a bit of shit on all the players. And it was really good fun. Yeah, so Richmond are the other team. Carlton was the last gig I did before COVID-19, and they were really a big Harry Mackay organised that, and that was really good fun. Great bunch of blokes, really good bunch of blokes.
Oh, well done, mate. That's wonderful. And I guess that leads me to my final question. It'd be a very hard one to answer, but who's the three most famous people you've actually performed with or in front of?
I don't know about famous to anyone else, but probably the biggest kick, you know, the biggest me thinking this is cool is I did a gig in Bunbury with James Heard, who's obviously quite a private person, and he's obviously been to hell and back, and so it was after all that had happened, and so Bunbury was say an hour 20 from maybe a bit more from Perth Airport. And anyway, his manager came over and said, "Oh, mate, I'm really sorry to do this to you, but Herdy's his transport has fallen through. Can you give James Heard a lift to the Perth Airport? He's got to be there fairly soon." And I was like, "Oh, mate, yeah, I'd love to." And I'm not an Essendon fan, and I saw him beat Collingwood off his own boot in just about every Anzac Day for about a decade. So sat down with him, and he was just you could not have got a nicer bloke. And he was just an open book about, you know, about the whole experience and everything everything he went through. And at the end I said, "Mate, you've got to go on 60 Minutes or something. People have got to hear your side of the story." It was just fascinating. So much stuff I didn't know. And I know there's many sides to the story, but hearing his side and what his family went through and how hard it was for his kids, and it was just like, oh, mate. And actually, didn't matter how much, if you didn't like him, you fell for him. But no one deserved to go through all the shit that he went through. It was just fascinating. Like you talk about podcasts, and if I'd have had a recording, it would have been the most fascinating podcast. And he just doesn't seem to talk about it that much, which I guess he doesn't want to, probably. And also Nathan Buckley, he's my hero. I've got to meet him a few times, which has been pretty awesome. And I guess Swanee, Dane Swan, I've got to know him fairly well. He's a bit of a theme, a bit of a Collingwood theme, but yeah, he never disappoints. He's just got this aura about him where he walks into a footy club and he's just the real common man's man. You know, he walks in and people are just drawn to him, and he is what he is, and he makes no apologies, and he swears, and yeah, and he's just warts and all, but he's great, and he's probably the best getting around at the moment, I think, as far as getting people to a sportsman's night, because he's funny, he's you know, he's got an interesting story. People can ask him about Collingwood, got questions about Eddie, and all the TV shows he's been on. He's unreal. He's there. So that'd be my three, I reckon.
I have to keep that one in mind for Swanee. Hopefully, I can get along and see a sportsman night or lunch with Swanee. Then, by the sounds of it, he sounds like a ripper.
Yeah, he is. He actually just I follow obviously my local footy league, which is one of only two leagues left remaining in Melbourne, and a clearance just went through for him to play for St Kilda City in 2020, which is crazy. So. Down the peanut farm. I don't know how well you know St Kilda, but she's a rough old. I played a couple of games there, and we used to play St Kilda City. And luckily enough, I would play in the seniors, but the reserves would have to line up, and they called it the Emu Bob. Both teams would line up before the reserves and walk two laps of the field up and down, and. And you put your hand up if there was a syringe, and the umpire would come out with the little the tongs, and because it was sort of right on the beach down in St Kilda, great location, but obviously a few extracurricular activities going on at night. It's wild down there. But so he signed there. I don't know whether he's gonna play, but good for local footy.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I was lucky enough to play one season in the Essendon District Footy League, mate, with the old Burnside Bears. We won two games the whole season. How's this for a story? Our very first ever game in the seniors, we actually won. It was like winning a grand final. It's phenomenal, like, you know, amazing celebrations. The week after, we lost by 285 points.
The old premiership hangover, yeah. Just a victory hangover.
How's that for a story?
Might have got a bit ahead of yourselves.
Exactly. Yeah, so, but no, good times. Got some footies, just wonderful, as you know yourself. You just meet so many great people. And, you know, my best friends are from footy, and even now I still speak to guys caught up with in Melbourne. I had my buck show over there recently from the Burnside Footy Club. So, you know, it's just such a great way of meeting people.
Yeah, it's just it's great for community. And I do, like, that's my book is, don't mean to go back to the book, but it's not about, it barely discusses kicking a footy. It's all about everything that happens off the field and, you know, the volunteers and just the culture of a footy club, unless you've been in there. And because you and I grew up in it, we just, it is what it is. It's part of our life. But people that have never been in there, it's just like, it's another world to them. Is walking into the rooms of a footy club, like it's another world. But they're pretty lucky to it's a great place to grow up, the old footy club.
Yeah, no, you're spot on there, Tommy. Well, Tommy Seagate, Suburban footballer, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. Unbelievable, you know, just what you're doing with the Suburban footballer and your Tom Seagate journey as well as a stand-up comedian. Keep up the great work, mate. And I really look forward to meeting you when things go back to normal. Hopefully you can come over to good old Adelaide and do a gig and have a couple of beers, mate.
Well, the moment your state will let me in, I'm there, because there's nothing going on in Victoria at the moment. So. You don't know a back door I could sneak in, do you?
I'll have the beers lined up for you, mate, whenever you come over.
Beautiful. Looking forward to it.
It's been a blast, mate, and keep up the great work. And like I said, stay safe over there in Victoria. You know, on the serious side of things, and we'll speak again soon.
Beautiful. Thanks very much, mate. Have a good one.
Same with you. Cheers, mate.